We are in our second week of our study in 2 Corinthians, and the title of this sermon series is We Live by Faith and Not by Sight. And this is actually found back in 2 Corinthians 5:7. Now, 3 weeks ago, we did a background study of this book. Two of the purposes of that background study were to first help us to understand the context for which we'll be studying together in this book. But then second, to also help us to understand what Paul is saying and why he's saying it. It will give us some clarity to various passages. So this morning we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so will also you will share in the comfort. So we see here that Paul starts off with blessing God the Father. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Greek word translated here as blessed occurs 8 times in the New Testament, mostly in Paul's writing. It always occurs with the person of God, and it expresses both gratitude and adoration. This word blessed can also be translated as praiseworthy or worthy of praise. Talking about Paul, Charles Spurgeon said this: here was a man who never knew but what he might be dead the next day, for his enemies were many and cruel and mighty, and yet he spent a great part of his time in praising and blessing God. So what does Paul praise God the Father for here in this verse? God's what? That's right, his mercies and comfort. So first we see that he is the Father of mercies. There are actually 2 ways to understand what Paul's saying here. First, that God is their source. All mercies we enjoy come from him. But then second, also, he's the Father characterized by mercy. He's a merciful Father. Now this word mercies means to have compassion. It is display of concern or compassion for another's misfortune. It expresses the sympathy one feels toward another that often manifests itself in some form of assistance. Then second, we see that God is the God of all comfort. Now, this Greek word comfort communicates the idea of one person standing alongside another to encourage and support his friend. The same word describes the Holy Spirit, who strengthens and guides us. It has the idea of strengthening, of helping, of making strong. Folks, as we go through afflictions, these are things we too can praise and thank God for: his mercy and his comfort. Next, we see in verse 4, he comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Notice first that God comforts us. He stands alongside us to encourage and support us in all our afflictions. The Greek word translated here as affliction means literally pressure or compression. It's used metaphorically for distress of mind and circumstances, of trials and trouble, of oppression, tribulation. You know, all the bad stuff we go through? Folks, no matter what variety of affliction we may be experiencing, and no matter what the intensity, God will provide strength and encouragement that is adequate for our need. He will bestow more comfort than we have affliction. Paul gives us a perfect pattern to practice when we're experiencing problems. First, praise the God of mercy and comfort. So next time you encounter unexpected affliction, it usually is unexpected, right? Try praising God and see how that alters your attitude towards your afflictions. Now, God may allow situations in our life where our only comfort is found through Christ. You know, sometimes we think that the only comfort is found in a change of circumstances. But God wants to console us right in the midst of our difficult circumstances, and to do it through Christ. But then, as we see next, God does not intend this encouragement and strength to end with just our personal benefit. We see this in the second part of verse 4. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction through the comfort we ourselves receive from God. We see that its further purpose is to enable us to become God's agent in extending God's comfort to others in their afflictions. As God comforts us in all our afflictions, we're to comfort others in theirs. As I said earlier, this idea of comfort is more than just soothing sympathy. It also includes the sense of strengthening, of helping, of making strong. Next, we see in verse 5. For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. First, Paul is probably not referring to Christ's agony on the cross as a substitute for our sin. Those sufferings could not be shared with others. It's more likely he's referring to the various afflictions which Christ endured from a sinful world and which his followers also incur. Our Lord himself predicted such suffering for those who would follow him, that his suffering would overflow onto us. You know, it's part of following Jesus, you know, dying to self, taking up our cross and following him. Although there is an overflow of the sufferings that Christ suffered, there is also an overflow of comfort provided through Christ. This overflow is the picture of exceeding the requirements of more than enough. It's like the 12 baskets of bread and fish left over from feeding the 5,000. The idea is to overflow like a river out of its banks. When Jesus supplies, there is more than enough so that some is even left over. Christ is like a perennial spring of comfort which flows from him and through him to our hearts. Now, I know there are probably some of you who are saying, I've gone through storms of life and have not felt comfort. Maybe you're going through a rough time right now and you have not felt comforted by Christ or by others. Let me encourage you to do a few things. You know, sometimes we don't receive the comfort God wants to give us to another person because pride keeps us from revealing our needs to others. So we never receive the comfort God would give us through them. Can I encourage you to consider sharing what you're going through with others as he leads you? Another way we're comforted is by remembering that there is purpose for our suffering, a good purpose. As we also saw already, suffering can bring fruitfulness and can also produce repentance and holiness. Now, we're going to also see that it produces patient endurance, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But then another thing is that this comfort from Christ grows the closer we draw near to him. the more we are sensing his presence in our in communication with him, the more we're trusting him, the more peace and comfort we will have. Last, our suffering will end. It's possible it may not be until we see the glory of heaven, but it will end. Next, we see in verse 6, if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. So Paul is talking about the sufferings he and his ministry team is going through and what impact that has had on the Corinthian church. We see that what Paul suffered impacted the Corinthian church in at least two ways. As Paul says earlier, that his testimony about the comfort he received can be an encouragement to the Corinthians, that it would bring comfort to them. But notice second, he says it's for their salvation. Now, there are at least two ways to understand what Paul is saying. First, that this salvation he talks about is deliverance. One Bible commentator sees salvation as the great end of comfort. He goes on to say, one way Paul's afflictions would be for others' comfort is that they would see that God delivered him through the affliction and would be confident that God could also deliver them. Then he wraps up by saying, few believers had suffered the various ways and amount of afflictions that Paul suffered, and yet God delivered him. So he could surely deliver the Corinthian believers from their lesser afflictions. Another Bible commentator suggests that because comfort is linked to salvation, it seems that this follows the Old Testament sense of the term salvation, which means physical deliverance. Doesn't it bring hope, comfort, and peace when we have the confidence that God will deliver us? But the second way to understand this salvation is that Paul's suffering would make him a more effective minister of the gospel. Another Bible commentator says it this way. As suffering brought Paul closer to God and made him rely more and more on God alone, Paul was a more effective minister. He was more usable in the hand of God to bring consolation and salvation to God's people. Here we see the result of suffering is fruitfulness. Then last in this verse, we see a second result of our suffering, and that is it produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings that we suffer. Patient endurance describes steadfastness or endurance when circumstances are difficult. Patient endurance is not a passive acceptance, but a strong fortitude enabled by the Holy Spirit to face the opposition or difficulty. It's the opposite of despondency. It describes that spirit-enabled mindset which bears things not simply with resignation, but with blazing hope. In other words, when a circumstance occurs that is difficult, painful, it's frustrating or disappointing, there are three things for you to understand as it applies to patient endurance. First, that it's not you, but the Holy Spirit that will enable you to endure. But then second, that you need to look by faith to Christ, to his power, to his wisdom. And then third, you need to not give in to despondency, bitterness, resentment, blaming, or complaining. If you're doing these three things, then you are patiently enduring the circumstance. One Bible commentator says, patient endurance isn't the idea of passive, bleak acceptance, but of the kind of spirit that can triumph over pain and suffering to achieve the goal. It is the spirit of the marathon runner, not the victim in the dentist chair. Then last we see in verse 7, and our hope for you is firm, because we know that as you share in the sufferings, so you will also share in the comfort. Now the Amplified Bible puts it this way, and our hope for you, our confident expectation of good for you, is firmly grounded, assured, and unshaken, since we know that just as you share as partners in our sufferings, so also you share as partners in our comfort. Sharing in the sufferings of Christ is a mark of a true believer, which is why Paul's hope in the Corinthian saints is unshakable and unwavering. Paul knew that as they shared Christ's sufferings, they also shared the Father's comfort. One Bible commentator labels this passage, confidence in the certainty of sufferings and the sufficiency of God's comfort. Paul knew that Corinthians would be partakers of suffering in the will of God along with Christ and Paul. And with equal confidence, he knew that they would also share in the comfort. This type of comfort involves more than just feeling sorry for someone who is in difficulty. Again, it connotes active encouragement and help to see the person through his trouble. God never promised to keep us out of the furnace of trials. Rather, he pledged to be with us in the fire and to lead us out of the oppressive flames. No believer is alone in hard times. God is always there beside him. You know, you never know when you'll need the Lord's comfort the most, when God's care will be your only hope to face tomorrow. One Christian writer tells this story. One day in 1932, pianist, singer, and songwriter Thomas A. Dorsey discovered his need for God's comfort. He left his pregnant wife, Nettie, at home in Chicago while he drove his Model A to St. Louis to sing at a revival meeting. All went well, and the crowd responded enthusiastically. At the end of Dorsey's performance, he received a telegram with tragic news that his wife had died in childbirth. Within hours, the baby boy also died. Filled with grief, Dorsey sought answers. Should he have stayed in Chicago and not gone to St. Louis? Had God done him an injustice? A few days after Nettie's death, Dorsey sat down at the piano and began to play. Finally sensing God's peace and closeness, he began to sing some new words and play a new song. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me stand. I'm tired. I am weak. I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. Is there a problem too big for you to handle alone? Or a grief too great for you to bear? Put your hand in the Lord's. Let the God of all comfort lead you home. In closing this morning, can I ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes as we reflect on our time together? This morning we talked about God's salvation. God's salvation includes sending Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins. How about you? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins and you see your need for Jesus as your Savior? Through faith in him, you'll receive forgiveness of all of your sins. Become one of God's children, receiving a new life in Jesus right now and a future home in heaven. if this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sins. I want to turn from them. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I give you my life. Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Maybe there is someone you know, or maybe someone who will come into your life this week that needs your comfort. Or maybe you're going through a painful time and you've been giving in to despondency, bitterness, resentment, blaming, and you need to look by faith to Christ, to his power, to his wisdom. Folks, whatever's going on in your lives, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Holy Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.